Sure.
Hey, we'll convene the meeting. We do not have a quorum yet, but what we'll do is, like we did the other day, we will begin the overview of the bill, and then if we still don't have a quorum, we'll lay it over and begin the overview of the other bill, and then revert back. We're getting a lot of feedback with the... Okay.
With that one.
That's the problem. Okay. So we will begin then with Representative Huntley's 1855.
Mr. Chair and members, this is a Department of Health bill. It relates to certain reporting requirements that hospitals and out-of-hospital imaging centers should report various expenses. One of the problems that we're having is trying to figure out what is meant by community benefit. I think all but one hospital in the state is a not-for-profit, and it's sometimes questionable whether we're getting the benefit for their nonprofit status, which means they don't have to pay certain taxes. And the Department of Health for a long time has been trying to get a uniform reporting of what hospitals and imaging centers do in terms of charity care, community benefits, and research costs, education costs. And this bill is an attempt to standardize that so the reporting from each hospital is the same and not different from hospital to hospital. One of the, let me just go through a couple of things. One is the problem of what's called charity care, which is care they give, they know they're not going to get paid for. Then there's bad debt, which is care that they thought they might get paid for, but they can't collect the payments. And so this bill attempts to standardize the reporting from various institutions on that, as well as the out-of-hospital imaging centers that we have that are relatively newer than our hospital system. Let me just go through. There's some other features in this bill that take us on the way to uniform billing. Another problem we have in this, in the whole country, is that every insurance company has a separate billing procedure. So the doctor's office or the hospital office has to fill out 50 different forms. Obviously, this is not very efficient. And there's a feature in this bill that establishes uniform billing for at least for Medicare hospitals, that so they can fill out one form instead of 50 different forms. Let's see. Basically, that's it. This is, as I said, it's the Department of Health bill. I have an amendment, but we can't offer that yet.
No, we're getting close.
And the amendment simply gets the bill in the same shape as another bill that's going through that previously, so that all sections of this bill will be the same as the other bill.
Okay, what we'll do, Representative Huntley, we'll take any questions that members have, and if we don't have a quorum at that at the point where there are no longer any questions, we'll just temporarily lay the bill over and take up the bill by Representative Bunt. Anybody have any questions then of Representative Huntley? Okay, apparently not. So we'll take both the amendment and the bill up in a few minutes then after we have the presentation by Representative Bunn. Representative Bunn, you also will have an amendment to your bill, but we'll have to hold on that. We're still waiting for a quorum. So what we'll ask you to do is present the bill, and hopefully by the time you're done, we'll have a quorum present. should maybe acknowledge Representative Cornish was particularly dapper this morning.
Well, we're having our birthday party on the House floor today for Dennis Osmond and I. So.
Oh, well, happy birthday.
Thank you. That's mine tomorrow. Dennis is this today.
I thought there was something special when I saw you come in. So.
He never changed out of his bartending uniform.
Okay, Representative Bunn, if you could walk us through the bill.
Yes, Mr. Chair and members, and thank you and good morning, Brother Uri, for all of you who've worked late, I'm sure. Just a clarification question, Mr. Chair. Do you not want me to even refer to what changes are being offered and delete all at this time, just do the original bill?
Well, you're going to have a delete all, so why don't you explain the bill, assuming that the delete all is...
Oh, okay.
It's adopted. It's just that we don't have a quorum to technically adopt and delete all, but maybe you could mention to members what the differences might be with the delete all.
In case members had time in a week like this to actually look at the first meeting grossness that they were given, to highlight the kind of couple significant, well not significant, the major changes that are involved in the delete all. The delete all, there were some changes to the exchange wording. The primary ones for those are in the original and the delete all. The delete all I'm referring to, I believe there are two in your packet, so the irrelevant delete all is DE2. The exchange wording was changed in lines 5.23 through 3.2. Some additional language is added there. A little bit of change in the description of the governance, the board membership on line 7.21.
Well, maybe I should clarify something for members, being that you referenced it. Representative Bunn is explaining the bill using the amendment DE2. The other amendment apparently had a drafting error in it, so you should just simply set that one aside. That one will not be relevant this morning.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Bunn.
That's what I had started with it. It is DE2. Some small changes in the description of the governance of the board and the members' makeup of the board at exchange on 7.21 through 7.25 on DE2. Also, there is some additional language in sections related to, in Section 8, relating to the electronic health record system. Primarily, that was language that was added because we have not only loans but also grants now, so it was language in order to match this up with the funding for this portion of the bill. In addition, the other significant added language was related to the medical education research section of the bill in Section 11, where new language was added again. It's department language to match it up with changes in federal requirements to, again, match the funding with the components of the bill on this. So those are
we now have quorum present, so we'll just stop where you are and we'll get things appropriately before us. First item of business, Representative Simon, you were here fairly early. Did you get a chance to look at the minutes?
I did.
Okay, Representative Simon moves approval of the minutes for May 1st. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Representative Hundley, would you care to move the division report on the bill House File 1873?
Mr. Chair, I move the Health Care and Human Services Finance Division report for House File 1873, First Committee Engrossment.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
The motion carried. Representative Huntley, if you could move the bill.
I move House File 1873, First Committee Engrossment, be recommended to pass and sent to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, that motion is before us, and now we have to put the bill in the order that Representative Bunn would like, and that's H1873DE. Representative Huntley?
Mr. Chair, I would move the H1873DE2 amendment.
Okay, that motion is before us, and this gets the bill in the order that the Ottawa would like to, or is actually presenting the bill. So all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Rep. Simbun, then if you could start again where you left off.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Again, the changes to the bill, other than what I outlined, the changes were intended to bring it in compliance with the parallel wording for this legislation that appears in the omnibus bill and now in the conference committee side by side, so that it's all consistent. That's what the changes and the delete all are for. Many of you on the House floor, when talking about the health omnibus bill and in other committees, have heard me go briefly over this bill before, so I'll try to be short on this. And then open it for questions as needed. Basically, this portion of the health care package is the health care reform components, and they are intended to address the issues of lowering costs in the system while improving outcomes. They incorporate innovative ideas from the governor, from Senator Berglund in the Senate, from the Healthy Minnesota Project of the MMA that they pulled together, from many of you who worked on these health care related issues over the mass media, and the work of the health care committees this session. Primarily the focus is to put the incentives in place to get the outcomes that we're looking for. First, I want to just summarize some of the overview kind of general points that are in the bill, and I'm not going to do it by section because as of this morning, there's kind of new section numbering that I didn't have till this morning. So you can refer to your house.
If I may, just a reminder to committee members, we are live and we're getting some feedback from conversations, so we are being broadcast, so I'd appreciate it if
Mr. Chair,
people would be a little more attentive.
Mr. Chair, just a point of inquiry, do we need to hear the entire bill or only those parts that are relevant to fiscal issues?
She's going to be highlighting, I assume, the fiscal issues, but she's going to be giving us the overview of the bill. And I think she's moving right along. Representative Bunn?
And I will ask for Chair Huntley, Representative Huntley's assistance on the fiscal issues, because the original form, we carried this portion without the appropriations attached, and the appropriations were with the omnibus bill on this. So I do know what sections of the bill have fiscal issues attached to them. Briefly then, in terms of the policy part of the bill, is it instructs the department to establish health cost containment goals, to report annually on those goals. It's in statute now that they should be doing that, but it hasn't been done for several years, and most importantly, to make recommendations as to how these goals could be better achieved. In terms of it also establishes a goal for a date for universal coverage or universal access to coverage in 2011. In terms of the components of the bill that, again, are more on the policy side, and then we'll quickly get to the financial side. On the policy side, it has great language for payment transparency so that providers and insurers have to provide the consumer information they need to make their decisions by accurate information on what the provider will be being reimbursed by the insurer and also what the individual is responsible for. Also has some wonderful some wording on hospital performance reporting on their websites in terms of their procedures they need to report performance measures on. Very important initiative in here in terms of agreements that have finally been reached regarding uniform billing and coding in the system. The governor's worked on and many others for years, and finally we're going to have uniform coding and billing moving forward very quickly that hopefully will reduce administrative costs throughout the system for all of us. In addition, also on this area, and there's some funding involved in this next item that I mentioned, the interoperable health records, that there's initiatives in here to move us fairly quickly towards interoperable health records throughout the system, including the financial components being both a loan program and grants program to assist providers in adopting systems to have interoperable health records. First of all, make them electronic, and to make sure they're also interoperable across systems and between providers. Also, there's much in this bill, the most innovative for payment reform. This is to encourage prevention, coordination of care, adoption of best practice and evidence-based guidelines. There is a financial component to these payment reforms in terms of, first of all, there's several different kinds of pilot projects in here with money mostly just for the biennium without tails on them for some of the pilot projects to both payment reform models to explore different payment reform models. There's also a pilot in here for a community collaborative effort, private-public partnership to better handle the uninsured in their communities. So these have fiscal components to them. In terms of the Q-Care type reforms that have been adopted in this legislation from the governor's proposals, pay for performance. And here we have financial incentives for those providers who meet objectives in terms of best management practices for their patients. Also, there's some performance incentives for the consumer to behave in certain ways with regards to following their agreed performance guidelines that they've worked out with their providers in this situation. And also there is payment reform to restructure the system to reward for management of chronic and difficult to handle conditions, so diabetes, heart disease, also complicated cases with disabilities, to make sure they are paid for the management and coordination of that care, not just the acute care at the for the provider or in the hospital emergency situation. Those also have costs to them, those components, to have these incentives for payment reform and restructuring this area. Another key component is the governor's exchange is included in here. There's the exchange itself and also the 125 plan proposals related to the exchange. The exchange has a cost component to it in terms of setting up the exchange, but eventually it would be self-supporting through the fee for the charges on premiums in the system. The initial proposal on that one was the governor was proposing about $12 million over the biennium, and the House proposal contained $6 million for the exchange at this time. And there was discussion of that in the conference committees as well, but I'm sure we can hear some report back on the difference between those two. Finally, this legislation sets up the mechanism for continuing forward with healthcare reforms over the interim in the summer and fall by setting up the healthcare transformation task force. This is the body which will work on continuing healthcare reforms and help us achieve that goal of 2011 of having healthcare access for all Minnesotans and continue to improve the quality and, most importantly, getting costs down throughout the system. So that's the overview of the components. There's not, I don't believe, a traditional fiscal note with this, and that's why it's a little complicated today.
Just so members understand, after the amendment went on, it became essentially a policy bill, going back to the question that Representative Pawlowski raised. We've since consulted with the Chair of Ways and Means, and we will be changing the motion to go to the General Register as a result of the amendment DE2. Anyone have any discussion, because it's right now then basically a pure policy bill. Representative West.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dunn, two questions. One, dealing with the governor's initiative on the insurance exchange. What's your understanding of how that's going to work and can you walk some of us through that haven't sat on some of the other committees that have had this, how that is going to work and how would that affect the state? Is there going to be a cost to us? And how ultimately can we bring some savings to consumers?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Westrum. There's two main components to what is being achieved with the exchange. The first component is it's addressing the issue of employers with greater than 11 employees, but which do not currently offer group health plans. These individuals who work for these employers thus are not currently able to take advantage of pre-tax dollars for paying for their health care because their employers do not have group health plans for which that can be used. So what the exchange does is allow these employers to set up through the exchange 125 plans that allow them to take money out of their employees' paycheck and send it pre-tax and send it to the exchange, and the exchange then is able to allow them to use that to purchase individual health insurance on the market through the exchange using pre-tax dollars that have been diverted through a check, you know, withdrawal from the employer. So it sets a way for all these employers in the states to direct these funds from paychecks to the exchange to allow these individuals to use pre-tax dollars for purchasing basically individual products through the exchange. Secondly, and in conjunction with this, the exchange is intended to be a clearinghouse of information to be web-based on the many, many individual market healthcare products available. And the idea from the department is that this will currently individuals have a difficult time getting accurate information on all the options available to them. And that the exchange would essentially, you know, make this information available so that there be tremendous competition in the individual product market for individuals to observe the price and the features of these products. So the second aspect then is that that will be available for those going from the small employers that don't have group plans, but it will also be available to any other individuals in the market who are currently self-employed or purchasing their own health insurance. The language in this program right now is that the individual market must go through the exchange once it is established. In terms of impact on the state, the initial impact is a startup cost of getting this up and running over the next couple years, 2 years. Beyond that, the exchange would be extracting a charge on insurers for all premiums that are running through this system to cover their cost of operation, and it is a nonprofit body.
So, Mr. Chair, thank you, Representative Bunn. So if I understand, you can just say yeah or give me further explanation if I didn't get it, but essentially the way to get all the products that are offered is basically as part of the regulation of insurance, health insurance products being offered in the states, they have to submit the information to the exchange. And is that that's a state-run exchange, or you said a nonprofit? I assume is there some state oversight, or state's just going to basically help facilitate getting it started?
Mm-hmm.
But if I understood it right, that's how they're going to get all their information. So basically, as a consumer, you're going to be able to see every product out there that's offered in Minnesota and do a more knowledgeable shopping on the web. You can answer that. The second question I've got refers to language to have a universal health care coverage by 2011. Can you expand on what is that? Is that committing us as a state to a universal health care coverage no matter what the cost?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just saying this is a goal, we're trying to find a way that we can call it universal but also work out cost details and other things? Can you give us a little more explanation on that as a second question?
Yes. Mr. Chair, Representative Westrom, to your first question, the exchange as it's now described and put forward by the governor and the department is a nonprofit entity. It does have an initial board structure. It does have accountability through the commissioners of health, human services, and I believe commerce as well initially are involved in it and will continue to be involved in it, but also as members are elected, I mean board members are also elected from the membership of the exchange as well, and that changes over time from the initial stage. So it's a public-private combination in terms of its governance, but a nonprofit structure. I think that there are some legitimate questions for us as legislators to ask about this structure. A very large sum of money will be flowing through this exchange, and fees will be extracted for its services. And I think that one needs to consider very carefully going forward in the next many weeks and as we go forward with exchange, the nature of that governance structure and the county involved in there. And also what we gain by this particular governance structure, a nonprofit one, versus other options that might be out there for that. In addition, I think there's some legitimate questions about what additional cost this structure adds to individual premiums, and to the system. Individuals will be able to save money because they're being able to take advantage of these pre-tax dollars. Presumably, they also will be able to save money because they will have this fuller information or almost complete information about the products available in the market and match themselves best to those products. But it's an additional structure with a fee that will be out there will have to be paid for some way. So I think those are all issues that we, as a body, should continue to discuss in the weeks and months ahead with regard to this very new idea of an exchange. In regards to your second question of universal and how it's established or how it's mentioned in this piece of legislation, there's no constitutional mandate for universal coverage in this legislation or anything like that. It's basically saying, first of all, let me say that in current state statute, it says Minnesota should achieve universal coverage. So it's really not new. What's new is kind of setting a target for us and saying let's work towards that by 2011 that we heard in this last year or two from citizens of the state that we now have increased the number uninsured. It's up to 7.5% now uninsured in the last, it's gone up over the last many years. And that Minnesotans think we can do better, that every individual should have access somehow to healthcare, affordable health care coverage of a decent quality. And therefore, I think the intent in this legislation is through this reform task force and all of us working together over the next 2 years to address that 7.5% by whatever innovative mechanism we can to make sure everyone has access to affordable care somewhere in the system. Not prescribing at this time what that will look like and how that will be accomplished, but leading up to some of the implementation that's in this legislation to bring us closer to that and in our larger health care package, like the Cover All Kids portions of it, but also leading up to this ongoing process of health care reform and interim to tackle those tough issues along with the governor.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and we have Representative House.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I see that Representative Bowman left. My question was more for him, but thank you. Maybe you could help me. I'm just a simple fellow from up north. This just sounds like it costs somebody a lot of money. Is it because it's not the state, but that's why it doesn't work?
And you may also want to pose your question to Representative Huntley. The cost of the bill is being carried, and I don't know if you were here at the beginning when that was mentioned, but... after the amendment went on, this became a policy bill, and the funding for the bill is being carried in Representative Huntley's omnibus bill. But if you want to expand on that, Representative Huntley.
Well, the funding is actually being carried in two places. One is in the omnibus bill. We're paying for the exchange, $6 million, plus we're paying for some of the pilot projects that are in here. And in addition to that, the tax cost of the 25 plans is being carried in the tax bill. And that's about $2.5 million for the first year of the biennium, and I think about 10 in the second. And let me talk a little bit about the tax advantages. 125 plans are not for people that are self-employed. They can only be used by people that through their employer, and in this bill it's mandated that if you're an employer with 11 or more employees, you have to provide one of these plans. Again, that uses pre-tax dollars, and if you look at how we as legislators get our insurance, the state uses pre-tax dollars for their share of the premiums. So the state's not paying taxes, they're not paying FICA, they're not paying Medicare on those taxes. And if we have family coverage, we have a share of that we have to pay. That's also paid with pre-tax dollars. So basically what these 125 plans do is give
individuals that are working for some employer the same tax breaks that we ourselves get. Now, that is a cost to the state, because we're also going to have the state tax code the same as the federal on this issue. The advantage, the real advantage to the state is that for every dollar that we lose in tax revenues with these plans, the individual will gain $4 of federal tax breaks. So it's unless you like sending money to Washington and never getting it back, this is a very good idea, because it keeps those dollars in Minnesota. And for a typical middle class person participating in family coverage, this is going to be worth about $2,000 to that individual. It's not necessarily mandated that $2,000 be spent on just health insurance, but in effect it is. So that will reduce that individual's health care premium by about $2,000. If you look at family coverage, it's typically roughly $10,000 a year, so this individual is saving roughly 20% of the cost of his treatment. So the thought is that this will help some people that are right on the edge of not being able to afford insurance in the individual market to just get over the hump and get insurance, and increase the number of people in Minnesota that are insured, and also give these people the same tax breaks that you and I get without insurance.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Huntley, if my children were to ask me about this, could I just say that you have the money in another bill, and this is the directions of how to spend it?
That would be correct. Actually, as I said, the money is in two other bills. It's in the omnibus bill, and it's in the tax bill.
Okay, Representative Bunn.
Just very quickly on the issue of the money involved in some of these components, the pay for performance and the payment reform portions of this were in the governor's budget. We're funding them at the same levels as the governor, basically, on the pay for performance and payment reform. Some of the pilot projects, they're very focused on parts of the system, and they're not large. They're $1-2 million projects, so they're not large. And the e-health stuff, electronic technology, interoperable, again, also in the governor's budget. I think we're funding a little more generously, possibly, than he has in terms of more grants for rural Minnesota, outstate, things like that. So they're not huge amount of some of these innovations are not large amounts of money in the state. They're very focused, short-term pilot projects, and they're only for 2 years and things like that in terms of testing the alternative model. Yeah.
Representative Otremba.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe this is just clarification, but for the 125 plans and the flex plans, the state already has a company that they use, and they already have a fee structure. Are we going through that company, or are we looking for another company to do the flex plan?
Mr. Chair, Representative Pimba, do you know the name of the company? I'm not familiar with that, actually, so I'll have to direct that to Representative Huntley to try to answer that.
Well, Mr. Chair, the name of the company is Bailey's.
I've never heard of
that. Representative Huntley is indicating that he'd have to look into that as well, I guess.
I'm not familiar with that. We certainly have the MSHIP plan, which is for people that insurance companies don't want to insure. And that's run by a similar non-governmental, not-for-profit group.
We have Representative Swiggum.
I'll pass this.
Okay. Any other discussion? The motion then that's before us is that Representative Huntley moves that House File 1873, the first committee engrossment, be recommended to pass as amended and sent to the General Register. Any further discussion? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. Representative Huntley will now revert back to your bill, and for those that arrived late, Representative Huntley has presented the bill. But we didn't happen to have a quorum when he was done, so we weren't able to take action on it. So the first motion by Representative Huntley would be the division report.
Mr. Chair, I move Healthcare and Human Services Finance Division report for House File 1855, Thurston Grossman.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Hearing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
And then, Mr. Chair, I would move House File 1855, Thurston Grossman, be recommended to pass and sent to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, that motion is before us. Representative Huntley, now you had an amendment in the packet, so we'll need to move the amendment.
Mr. Chair, I would move the A07-0912 amendment.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion on the amendment? Maybe you could just briefly touch on it, because we had several people on.
There's some parallel bills going along on hospital reporting of their financial costs, and this simply gets the bill in the same condition as those other parallel bills.
Okay. Any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
Again, Mr. Chair, members, for those that weren't here, this is the Department of Health bill. They support the amendment. What it simply does is standardize the way in which hospitals and out-of-hospital imaging centers have to report their costs. This is an attempt to get a better understanding of what uncompensated care is, what charity care is, what the cost of some of our public programs are in terms of how they affect the healthcare system, because in many cases, be it Medicare, be it medical assistance, or be it Minnesota Care, we are paying the providers a cost that does not, or a fee that does not cover their cost. And what we're trying to do with this bill is simply standardize the reporting so we can get a better handle on what hospitals are spending and what these imaging centers are spending. And I will say it's probably one of the least controversial bills I've had this year.
we'll note that. Okay, so the motion is before us. Any discussion? House File 1855, the first and Grossman is, as amended, is recommended to pass and sent to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. That completes all of our business for
Thank
this
you, Mr.
morning.
Chair and members.
And we will be back tomorrow at... we did toy with starting at 7:45 because people are frequently arriving at 8:15, so we could get started at 8, but we would appreciate it if everybody could be here at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning so we can get a timely start. With that, meeting adjourned.